Recently on the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
The U.S. economy added 227,000 jobs in January. Is that a surprise to you?
It was. We had raised our estimate based on some earlier news that we got this week that suggested that our employment market was doing well, but it exceeded even those expectations. A great way to start the year. This is a very large number, Chris. As we've discussed before, when we get 100,000 jobs created in a month, that's about the break-even given the nation's demographics. So this obviously is more than twice that.
Let's take a look at quality of the increase.
Leaders were construction and retail. Construction we'll have to take with a little grain of salt. It had been a mild January for most of the country, and that allowed projects to go forward. We'll probably see a little retreat there. But across a lot of other industries, the job gains were widespread.
For the best information on business and the markets, tune in each weekday for the WBBM Noon Business Hour on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, WBBM.
We've been the voice of the fan for over 25 years. We couldn't have done it without you, the Score listener. Thank you for 25 great years. This is Sports Radio 670 The Score. WSCR in HD Chicago. WJMK HD2 Chicago. Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios. Scoreboard update.
From the Chicago Wolves Update Studio, I'm Matt Abaticola. The second place Wolves are home this Saturday at 7 for American Girl Night. The first 5,000 will receive a Wolves outfit. Visit ChicagoWolves.com.
If you have a capped out roster and you're in that position, then you've put yourself in a very difficult position. But if you've got young players and you continue to add young players and you have a level of flexibility, that's where I think you've got a chance to take yourself out of that position and continue to build a roster that can compete at a high level.
That's Bulls general manager Gar Forman. He joined the midday show earlier today, Spiegel and Parkins, and it was Spiegel and Rosner. You can catch that entire interview at 670thescore.com. His Bulls are coming off a big win over Golden State. They're off today with the Clippers in town tomorrow. L.A. struggling just a little bit. They've lost 5 of their last 10 games. Elsewhere in the NBA tonight, the Raptors play at Washington. The Cavs visit Atlanta, and those Clippers play in Milwaukee. In hockey, the Blackhawks host the Islanders tonight. Puck drops at 7:30. Anisimov and Schmaltz are out. Crawford starts in net. Jeff Glass was recalled from Rockford. AHL, the Wolves host Cleveland tomorrow night. Major League Baseball, the Cubs host Cincy. Mike Montgomery starts. That one takes place any minute now. Hayward leads off. Albert Almora batting second, playing center. White Sox later tonight. They take on San Diego. First pitch at 7:40. Earlier, the Sox released Brett Laurie. He didn't play after July 21st of last year due to a leg injury. He was supposed to make $3.5 million this season. PGA play. It's the Mexico Championship second round. J.B. Holmes is your leader at 6-under. Lefty Jimmy Walker, Ross Fisher, they're all tied at 5-under. Rory, Sergio, and Rahm are 2 shots off the lead at 4-under. This scoreboard update brought to you by Rosen Hyundai. Save time. Shop online at rosenhyundai.com. Team 670 is taking the plunge at the 17th annual Chicago Polar Plunge at North Avenue Beach this Sunday. Come out to support 670 The Score and Special Olympics Chicago as the team jumps into Lake Michigan at 11 a.m. I'm Matt Abaticola, and you're listening to 670 The Score, celebrating 25 years of Chicago sports talk and the radio home of the world champion Chicago Cubs. This is Chicago's number one sports radio station, 670 The Score and 670thescore.com.
Thank you, Matty. This hour is brought to you by Vasectomy Clinics of Chicago.
Regulator, mount up. We're caught.
Matt Miller.
He's everywhere you want to be. Don't leave home without.
NFL and NFL draft lead analyst for Bleacher Report.
There were so many first, second, third round quality players.
Breaking down the NCAA and the NFL.
They looked overmatched. They looked like they did not want to play. And then the second half came around and he really rallied them.
Matt Miller.
It's time to go eat, baby.
Matt Miller with Bernstein and Goff on 670 The Score.
This is the Bernstein and Goff Show here on 670 The Score, 670thescore.com, and watch 670thescore.com as well, or on Facebook Live for you too. Lawrence Holmes is in for Dan Bernstein for another day. And Lawrence, it's time for us to go out to the Home Run Inn Pizza Hotline. Be the MVP of your family and grab a Home Run Inn Pizza tonight. That is where our guy Matt Miller from Bleacher Report is on the line. You can follow him on Twitter at NFL Draft Scout. Matt, thank you so much for joining us. We know it is a busy time. Everybody is in Indianapolis looking at men running around in compression shorts and ill-fitting shirts. So I want to ask you this before we get to players and specifics. I was thinking about it this morning. If the scouting combine was no more, would teams get greater value out of just studying tape of who guys are going against?
Yeah, probably, but like the combine, and I'm not the biggest combine fan, but it has weird value in like the medical stuff that all the players come here and get medical checks and they get MRIs and they run through like every injury they've ever had. And that's like more important than the stuff that's on the field. And so, and the interviews too. So I feel like a lot of times the numbers get overrated by people on TV and people on Twitter. I think teams actually do a pretty good job of not overrating the importance of a 40-yard dash or a vertical jump or any of that stuff. Like, listen, Leonard Fournette is a beast, and anyone who's ever watched college football should be able to tell you that. Like, that is, you don't need a 40-yard dash or a bench press to know that.
I saw a Twitter discussion between you and Adam Schefter, a retweet of Adam Schefter, where you were talking about Jabril Peppers, which is a name that keeps coming up. A lot of fans here in Chicago would love to see the Bears end up drafting him. What's he doing that's unique as far as his workouts go down there in Indy?
Yeah, and by the way, if Bears fans want him, it better be in round two, right? Like, no one wants him at three overall, I would hope. So what he's doing unique is he's going to actually work out at linebacker and with defensive backs. And I've honestly never seen anyone do this before. So a lot of times you'll see, like, defensive ends will do DN drills, then they'll do outside linebacker drills. But this is the first guy I've ever seen do linebacker and defensive back drills, which I wouldn't be surprised if this doesn't become common just because of so many hybrid type guys. You know, like Dylan Buchanan was one. Sua Cravens was one last year. So more of these like versatile players, guys who we kind of call a tweener in the past. I wouldn't be surprised if we see some of that.
He was listed at 6'1". Jabril Peppers measures in at 5'10" and seventh ace. I heard a lot about Mitch Trubisky and how he wasn't going to measure the last week or so. Seems like Deshaun Watson is a little bit taller than him.
Yeah, well, Deshaun Watson is a little bit taller in the same weight. So I think that this was a good thing for Deshaun Watson to come in at 222 and to be over 6'2". And for all the quarterbacks, they all actually ended up over 6'2", at least the top guys did. So that's a great sign because, like, fans might turn up their nose at that, but it actually, that stuff matters. Like, you know, there are teams that will knock you if you're not, if you're not over 6'2", if your hands aren't at least 9 inches. You know, that big deal was made last year about Jared Goff with the small hands. So, you know, this year we've got Watson coming in at 6'2½" and 221. So he, you know, is a little bigger than I think everyone expected he would be.
You do so much work watching games, watching tape. I would imagine even for you, though, there've got to be players that you haven't seen in person or a player that maybe slips through the cracks. Is there someone that you were really looking forward to just seeing, like seeing up close how they move or how they interview, that you got down there and you were impressed with what you saw?
You know, Deshaun Kizer was actually the one, and it's probably interesting because he's a big name, not a guy who fell through the cracks. But as recently as last week, I heard people say that they didn't like him, like personality-wise. Like the people at Notre Dame didn't really like him, which surprised me. And so now you get down here and everybody's talking about how well he's interviewing. And, you know, John Lynch is talking about, you know, that was a great interview. And I've had other scouts say that, man, that kid is like, he's wired for the NFL. So that was an interesting one just to get a perspective of the person a little bit. I think for just like pure like movement skills, like I'll be really interested to watch the receivers. Just because, and they're working out tomorrow, but to be able to watch the receivers because, you know, we know like Corey Davis isn't working out because of the ankle. Mike Williams isn't going to run the 40. So I want to see guys like John Ross. I want to see Zay Jones. I want to see Cooper Kupp. Like, I want to see that next wave of wide receiver to see how they look.
The tight ends. I heard this morning Mike Mayock say that this is an extremely, extremely rare set of tight ends. What is it, athletically, accomplishment-wise? I know O.J. Howard is the guy. I know the kid from Miami is the guy that everybody wants to see run and jump. But what makes this group of tight ends special?
Yeah, I'm just going to go ahead and say Mayock stole that from me. So
no doubt. I'm with you on that. You know, if anybody has any problem, we'll ride with you.
Yeah, there we go. I feel good with that. No, it's a great tight end class because the top-tier athleticism of Njoku and of O.J. Howard, they're freaks. They're going to test very well here. But the depth is also good. Like, Jake Butt is probably a second rounder if he doesn't tear his ACL. So you're going to get good value there. Evan Engram is probably a second rounder. Gerald Everett, South Alabama, is probably a third rounder. Bucky Hodges is probably a second rounder. Jordan Leggett is probably a second rounder. Adam Shaheen is probably a second rounder. Like, this is just a very, very good tight end class. And, you know, you rip through that, it's like five guys with a second round grade, so you know someone's going to flip a little bit. So there could be really, really good value for people.
You brought up DeShone Kizer, and back to Bears fans again, Matt. They're looking at these quarterbacks and trying to figure out who might be the best value. Maybe not even the best player, but maybe if the Bears don't want to take someone at three, who do you think could be the best value later on?
Oh, wow. I got asked this question this morning, and I'll tell you, it's so hard because I think we're going to see the quarterbacks overdrafted a little bit. So, you know, like I would normally say, like, man, Davis Webb in the third round is pretty good value, or Nathan Peterman in the third round could be sneaky good value. I think those guys get overdrafted into the second round. So it's almost like, okay, is Brad Kaya in the third round going to be the guy we, like, you know, ride with as a developmental starter? It could be a pretty good value, but because of the needs at quarterback, we might see five or six go in the top two rounds. And then there's this gigantic gap from those top five or six down to the next tier. And you're talking about guys like Chad Kelly, who, I mean, do you want to take a risk on that? You know, it's like a big question mark. And then you get to some of the small school guys like Cooper Rush from Central Michigan, or, you know, Bo Bethard from Iowa, whose arm strength is really, really bad, or Josh Dobbs at Tennessee, who's a great kid, really smart. He's probably going to be an astronaut someday, but, you know, he's not super ready to be an NFL quarterback. So it's almost like if you want one this year, you got to go early.
Who's got the highest ceiling as far as development? Maybe you got to sit him for a year, but this is the guy that you think projects to be not only the best athlete, best thrower, but the best quarterback you can actually have a face of your franchise.
I think it's DeShone Kizer. And, you know, like, I love Pat Mahomes. He's got a great arm, good kid, good athlete. But I think Kaiser's got all the tools. And maybe this is like me being a crazy Texas fan. He destroyed us week one. And I know neither team was as good as everyone thought, but, like, that game, like, the touch and the timing and just the placement that he was putting on the ball, like, and the kid looked special. And so it's hard for me to, like, forget that, because he is such a good athlete, too. You know, 6'4", 233, like, and throwing with that touch and having the, you know, the athleticism, like, that's something I could really get on board with.
I trust your scouting more than I trust my own. But I do trust my scouting, Matt. The Davis Webb thing, I saw him up close a couple of times, and I'm not sold. I'm not sold on him, and I'm not sold on Pat Mahomes. Why should I be sold on either one of those guys?
Well, I think if you look at just tools, like you said, like, listen, Pat, Davis Webb's feet are bad. Like, he is slow, and he's going to need to be in a situation where he can climb the pocket, and he can – everything has to be clean. When everything's perfect, his arm is super, super good. And with Pat Mahomes, it's like a Blake Bortles thing. It's like the tools are there, but are they ever going to get figured out? So it could be that, and I wouldn't draft him at number three overall, like the Jaguars did Bortles. I would take him maybe late first, early second, where he could sit for a year or two. But you're right, and you could do that for every quarterback in this class, man. You can go like, okay, Trubisky, I only started one game, and I watched him play some pretty bad ones, but there were some really good ones too. And you could do the same thing with Watson, where the kid threw 30 picks the last 2 years, and he had more passes batted down at the line of scrimmage than any quarterback in this draft class. So, like, they all have their warts. So you just really end up betting on, like, what are the traits that we really like about these guys?
Leonard Fournette and Dalvin Cook, you know, we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, actually, about why there was this difference of opinion and the gap between the two running backs. Both guys running the 4-5 range. Of course, Leonard Fournette shows up at 240, calls it water weight. Dalvin Cook has his issues. You think after today, any of that changes?
No. Cook might fall. And I think I said this a couple weeks ago when I was on with you guys, that, like, the off-field with Dalvin Cook is not good. Okay? It's not good. And then you throw in some fumbles. Not good. And now today, I think they adjusted it. He ran a 4.49.
Okay.
He jumped 30 and a half. Like, that's not great for a 210-pound running back whose game is speed. So I would worry about that a little bit with Dalvin Cook. So, like, what I've told you guys before, scouting is about the fewest question marks are the guys that go early. And I think with Dalvin, there are just enough question marks that it's going to push him down a little bit. And with Fournette, there aren't as many. Even Christian McCaffrey, I don't think there are as many question marks. Definitely not off the field, but on the field, like, to me, McCaffrey is actually a pretty, you know, easy plug and play usage. And some of the other guys in this class, I don't think have the same level of versatility and, you know, that inside outside speed and everything he brings to the table.
How are NFL people looking at the running back position now? And I like McCaffrey as a point to discuss this on, Matt, because to me, he is a guy that you line him up in the slot, you can be effective with him there too. So when it comes to judging value, is that the added value that NFL people are looking for? Are they looking more for a guy like Fournette that they know can be a two down or even a three down guy and hand him the rock, but maybe doesn't play as big of a role in the receiving game?
Yeah, I think different teams want different things, right? So, like, you know, and it kind of depends on what you already have on the roster. You know, like, New England has this great balance with LeGarrette Blount, and then they can mix in James White, and they can mix in Deion Lewis. You know, the Bears already have Jordan Howard, so you have a really good power back. So, you know, a guy like, you know, Jamal Williams or Samaje Perine aren't going to have a whole lot of value, but a smaller guy who can catch the ball out of the backfield, do some things on third down, like, that's where your value is. So, the teams like San Francisco, hell, you just draft the best one you can get. Or Jacksonville. The Jets, like teams like that, I think you could just go for best overall. But for so many teams, especially in the late first round, you're looking for fits, basically, which is, you know, Seattle is probably one of the teams at the late first round that could look for someone that could do a little bit of both. But, like, to the big answer to your question, like, yeah, teams want guys who could do everything, but it's hard to find a back who really is a true three-down threat. And, like, Zeke Elliott last year went fourth overall because of that. And if Fournette, he caught the ball pretty well in workouts just now. Like, things like that are what make you a special talent.
Matt Miller is in Indianapolis. He's covering the scouting combine. He's on the Bernstein and Golf Show. Lawrence Holmes is in for Dan Bernstein. Matt, I feel like I'm losing all my Washington guys to the first round. I feel like the Buddha Bakers of the world and Sidney Jones and some of these other guys are going to test through the roof and find themselves in the first round. You mentioned John Ross. That's a guy who a lot of people are going to get their eyes open to in the scouting combine as well. That Washington program and the amount of talent that was on it, as a guy who's looking for the Bears to upgrade, especially in the secondary, are some of these guys going to find their way into the end of the first round and make it an impossibility for them to be drafted with the second pick overall for the Bears?
Man, we did a seven-round Bears draft on our Facebook Live show yesterday, and I gave you Buddha at the top of round two. So
I hope so.
He could be there. I really think so. What's crazy is, like, I love Sidney Jones. I think he's number 19 overall on my board. But because of, like, the quarterback situations, a guy like that could get pushed down to round two. Like, it's not crazy to think that Sidney Jones could get pushed down, Buddha could get pushed down. We might even see, like, some really big household names. Jabril Peppers could get pushed down, you know. Tre'Davious White could get pushed. Marlon Humphrey could get pushed. So, you know, when we talk about Bears' needs, it's always, like, quarterback, secondary. I mean, this is a great year to get a secondary player in the second round because someone's going to drop just because there will only be 32 players in the first round, obviously. But there are like 40 guys this year that you want to put in the first round. So sitting where they do in the second round is a great spot to go get, you know, a pretty elite player, especially if you want to get a corner or a safety.
I asked this of Greg Gabriel yesterday. I love to ask people who are around it to kind of pick their brains. If we made you the czar of the combine, what would you change about it?
Oh, I get the fans out of here for one. Like, I cannot imagine being a player trying to bench press and you got fans, like, sitting there watching. Like, I know they're going to play in front of fans, but, like, this is a job interview. So I would get the fans out of here, like, immediately. And like, listen, I'm not anti-fan. Like, I love football fans. Like, you.
No, that's going to be the Twitter headline. Page. No.
But, yeah, that's it. Matt hates the fans. Yeah, I can see that. But, I love interacting with fans, but I'm an analyst. Like, I'm a journalist. That's what I should be doing. Like, these, I would not let fans sit here and watch these kids bench press and stuff. And this is only the tip of the iceberg. They're going to be fans, you know, clocking people in the 40-yard dash in a couple of years because the NFL is all about, you know, trying to save the game by letting fans interact with the players.
So the Joe Mixon, Chad Kelly thing. Joe Mixon not there because of his domestic incident of a couple of years ago. Chad Kelly not there because he threatened to go out to his trunk and get his AK-47, and he ran on a high school football field when his, I believe, his cousin or his brother was playing and wanted to start fighting with people. Who loses the most in that situation? The NFL teams, Joe Mixon, Chad Kelly, who?
I think the players do. First and foremost, because this is an opportunity for them to get in front of 32 teams and say, hey, I'm an idiot. I didn't have an AK in my trunk. My brother was getting stomped. I shouldn't run on the field, but it's blood. You guys understand. Heat of the moment. I got kicked out of Clemson because I was young and immature. I'm a different person now. And for Joe Mixon, he could say, what happened in 2014 is not who I am. I have not been in trouble since. I served my punishment as determined by the court system. I'm a different person. So being able to do that is huge for their draft stock. Now they don't get to. So I think it hurts the player first, the team second. The league does not give a damn about these kids, man. They care about their TV show, and they don't want Joe Mixon here being interviewed, running the 40, and being the spotlight. So it's like, you know, instead of having that awkwardness, they're like, you know what, we're just not going to do it. They're going to stay home, which is so asinine to me that the league can, you know, handpick guys like, okay, you get in, but you don't. And, you know, we talked about Dalvin Cook earlier. I mean, Google Dalvin Cook on
the
field.
The puppy and stuff. And
Yeah, D.D. Westbrook, man. I mean, that story that came out from the Tulsa World News about D.D. Westbrook is awful. And I'm not in any way trying to defend Joe Mixon, but there are other guys who have worse backgrounds. They have patterns of problems. Joe Mixon, you know, did something awful that he shouldn't have done. It was one thing. There are other guys who have 3, 4, 5 things. You know, Devontae Fields, who got kicked out of TCU for roughing up his girlfriend. Like, there are a lot of bad people in this draft class, or guys who made bad decisions, we should say, in this draft class, and then others who now don't get to be. So I just don't like the, okay, you're cool, but you're not, so stay home.
Do you think they pull that trigger if it's the number one pick?
No, there's no way, man. If Myles Garrett, you know, had had a violent run-in.
Or Jameis Winston a couple of years ago.
Yeah, Jameis, yeah. I mean, and there's no way that they would have ever drawn that line in the sand for a top prospect.
All right, well, Matt, we appreciate the time, man. Thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, you bet, guys. I'll talk to you next week. Have a good weekend.
Yeah, you too, man. Hey, give Emmett a hug for us.
Yeah, you got it.
Our guy, Matt Miller, right here on 670 The Score, the Bernstein and Goff Show.
How interesting is that? That the same question that I asked Greg Gabriel yesterday about, he had the opposite answer as Matt Miller. That Greg says, bring the fans in, and Matt's like, take them out.
Well, one's a journalist and one's a scout.
Fascinating.
Yeah. And I brought it up before we talked to Greg how they're monetizing the scouting combine now. They got the fan experience where you got kids who can jump around and do some of the drills and have, you know, like a fake referee time them and clock them. And yeah, I mean, I understand that if I'm a player and the last 2 or 3 months all I've been doing is getting ready for these tests in Arizona or wherever my training facility is. And I've already got nerves, and I've already got a lot of things going on. You want it to be as filtered as possible in terms of the interaction. You know, you might have a guy who's a fan of a rival school who's getting in your face, or whose camera phone is always on you, and you feel even more scrutiny. I know people are going to be like, you know, it's the tiniest violin for that guy, but it is a job interview.
It is.
You disagree.
I tend to lean more towards what Greg was saying, just because the idea of watching how one reacts because no one knows how this whole thing works, but may give you some insight into the player that you're thinking about drafting. Like,
from
is there
interaction?
From
like,
fans,
because like, you're never going to do that during the show.
No. From fans being there, like when Greg was talking about having fans there for the bench press and the juice that guys get from playing to an audience or playing to a crowd versus how they react in a more sterile environment, a more clinical environment of the combine. I probably lean more towards that. I completely understand what Matt is saying from a work standpoint. Like, for me, I would probably, if I were down there covering it still, I would probably not want the fans there because it just,
right.
it could end up being a distraction for yours truly. But I don't mind the idea of for a couple of events, seeing if a guy shows out because there's a crowd there and seeing if there's a difference in him.
But see, that would make me question something in you if you're not competing at the highest level against the guys who are around you that might take your spot. Might take your job, might take your position in the draft. If I'm Leonard Fournette and I see Dalvin Cook put up 21 on the bench, I'm trying to go 26-27. I don't need, you know, Jimmy from Tuscaloosa screaming at me about what the Tide did to me. You know what I mean?
Roll damn Tide.
I don't need that. You know, I don't need somebody from Ole Miss telling me that I stiff-armed their cousin into the ground and I hope you die and I hope you burn in hell. Like, I don't need that. So it depends on how you're wired. And by the way, this from the 630 job security. He mentioned fans clocking the 40, worried about being replaced by fans and social media. Cut it out. If any journalist doesn't understand the role that social media plays, I don't think that a fan all of a sudden is going to up and take his gig unless you get a blog started and people start to tune into time after time. And by that time, you will have quit your job and made this a full-time job, and then you will become a
member of the media.
Yeah. So I don't think a dude with a stopwatch 50 rows up in the bleachers is going to have a better reading than the electronically timed 40-yard dash.
Yeah, Matt's work has been done for like months. Like this is
brushing up.
Yeah, that's all that is. That's like getting FaceTime with guys.
Matt has watched more bad football than anyone on this planet.
He's been in the cave for a minute,
dude. I worked the Super Bowl with him and Matt Bowen, and when I tell you the stuff that the piles. Like damn near briefcases of information those two brought. And, you know, they're both writing stuff, one for ESPN, The Insider, and the other for Bleacher Report. At that time, of course.
Matt, I heard you guys' Matt show. I thought they were really good.
Yeah, Matt was working for Bleacher Report at that time. Bowen, I should say, was working for Bleacher Report at that time. But, man, and then you just, as soon as a guy sits down, like Deshaun Goldson sits down with us, and Matt Miller's got his files on what he thought about him then. Tyrann Mathieu sat down and shook Matt Miller's hand because Matt Miller was one of the few people that was like, yo, this kid is not going to let you down again. Like, I've talked to him. I've been around him. He wrote it in his scouting that this guy understands and realizes how important football was to him. And that's before he got his first check. Tyrann sits down. So Matt has been doing this for a while, man.
And 2 years ago, before he got hurt, he was working towards Defensive Player of the Year.
No doubt. He's Lawrence Holmes. He's in for Dan Bernstein. I'm Jason Goff. You're listening to 670 The Score.
You're listening to the number one sports station in Chicago. Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
This is Jim Rome with the CBS Sports Minute. Golden State goes down again last night, this time to Chicago, 94-87. They had not lost back-to-back regular season games in 2 years. An astounding stat. But now they're 0-2 since Kevin Durant went down. Not as surprising. But nobody thought that losing an MVP and a four-time scoring champ was going to be easy. Of course, losing Durant is a concern. But their more immediate concern are Steph Curry and Klay Thompson, because without Durant, they have to step it up. And right now, both of them are having trouble making shots. Look, I said they'd be fine when Kevin Durant went down, and I still think they will be. No need to hit the panic button yet, Dub Nation. While Curry and Thompson are struggling and missing shots they normally make, they're going to be fine, and so is that team. No need to panic. I will let you know when it's time for the Dubs to panic, and it's not now. I'm Jim Rome.
This week in music history. What do you
mean? Justin Bieber was born this week in 1994. That same week, Nirvana played their final ever concert. This week in 1995, the Foo Fighters made their live debut. It's like this and like that and like this. Death Row Records boss Suge Knight was sentenced to 9 years in prison for violating his probation this week in 1997.
This week in music history.
This week in 1995, Dusty Springfield died after a long battle with cancer at age 59. MC Hammer became a preacher this week in 2000. This week in 2002, the first episode of The Osbournes TV show aired on MTV. Hey, hey, what's the money? And this week in 2012, Davy Jones, singer with the Monkees, died at age 66 after suffering a massive heart attack. This week in 1968, Elton John's first single, I've Been Loving You Too Long, was released and didn't chart. Frankie Lymon was found dead of a suspected drug overdose at age 25 that same week. The CD was launched by Sony, Philips, and PolyGram this week in 1983. This week in 1993, Whitney Houston and Bobby Brown became parents when Bobby Christina was born. This week in 1955, Elvis Presley made his TV debut. This week in 1959, the winners of the first Grammy Awards were announced. The Four Seasons became the first group to have three consecutive number ones in the U.S. this week in 1963. This week in 1966, John Lennon's statement that the Beatles were more popular than Jesus Christ was published in London.
Recently on the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
The U.S. economy added 227,000 jobs in January. Is that a surprise to you?
It was. We had raised our estimate based on some earlier news that we got this week that suggested that our employment market was doing well, but it exceeded even those expectations. A great way to start the year. This is a very large number, Chris. As we've discussed before, when we get 100,000 jobs created in a month, that's about the break-even given the nation's demographics. So this obviously is more than twice that.
Let's take a look at quality of the increase.
Leaders were construction and retail. Construction we'll have to take with a little grain of salt. It had been a mild January for most of the country, and that allowed projects to go forward. We'll probably see a little retreat there. But across a lot of other industries, the job gains were widespread.
For the best information on business and the markets, tune in each weekday for the WBBM Noon Business Hour on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, WBBM.
Play.it is your new podcast network for top sports on-demand programming, including CBS sports experts and digital exclusives from dynamic personalities.
Hey, join me, Taz.
Jim Rome.
Holy Magic Man Malignaggi, two-time world champion.
The industrial strength nation.
Let's get to some news here.
The updates, the scores, lots happening.
Let's hand out some fantasy football advice.
The most addictive sports podcast today.
Play.it is delivering storytelling at its best.
This is the big league.
Hear what you've been missing at Play.it. Play.it is your new podcast network for award-winning news programming and number one sports brands to entertainment and business leaders.
Welcome! We're gonna make you laugh, we're gonna make you think.
Give you that news and information.
Pop culture, reality TV.
What's happening in business today?
Relationships, dating.
The biggest names in sports.
Play.it is delivering storytelling at its best.
You wanna see something entertaining? Tune in.
Hear what you've been missing at Play.it. Thanks for listening. This station is in a commercial break, and we'll be back shortly. Stand by. We're in a commercial break, and we'll return to your favorite station very soon. Thanks for listening. Thanks for listening. This station is in a commercial break, and we'll be back shortly. Stand by. We're in a commercial break, and we'll return to your favorite station very soon. Thanks for listening.
Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station. Scoreboard update.
From the Chicago Wolves Update Studio, I'm Matt Batacola. The second place Wolves are home this Saturday at 7 for American Girl Night. The first 5,000 kids will receive a Wolves outfit. Visit ChicagoWolves.com. Your Bulls are coming off a big win over Golden State, and they're off today with the Clippers in town tomorrow. L.A. Has lost 5 of their last 10. They actually have a game tonight. They'll be playing in Milwaukee. Also this evening, the Raptors play at Washington, and the Cavs visit Atlanta. A couple of nice games you might want to watch. Gar Forman, the Bulls GM, he joined the Scores Midday Show earlier today with Spiegel and Rosner. You can catch that entire interview at your own leisure at 670thescore.com. In hockey, the Blackhawks, they host the Islanders tonight. Puck drops at 7:30. Anisimov and Schmaltz are out. Crawford starts in net. Jeff Glass, he was recalled from Rockford, and he's happy. Major League Baseball, the Cubs right now, and the Reds. The Cubs trail 1-0 in the bottom of the first. Mike Montgomery, he struck out 3, but gave up 2 hits and an unearned run. The White Sox take on San Diego later tonight. First pitch at 7:40. Earlier, the Sox released Brett Laurie. He didn't play after July 21st of last year and was due to make $3.5 million this season. PGA play, it's the Mexico Championship. Second round play, Ross Fisher leads at 6-under. I had him leading in the second round at 6-under, so I made money there. 5 others are one shot off, including Lefty, Rory, Jimmy Walker, and JB Holmes.
You can bet round by round?
No, I just made that up.
Oh!
I wanted people to think that I was really smart and like a gambler.
Oh, no,
and stuff.
No, no. Okay, act like I didn't say
it. Yeah, no, no one heard that.
Man, Maddie, you made some dough off
sure
that.
Sure did, man.
Yeah, brother.
Me, I love gambling shining. On golf mm-hmm. in the round action.
Mm-hmm.
It's what I do.
Yep, I like round action too.
Oh, yeah. Bigger the better. Right? Am I right, fellas?
Well,
yeah.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
What's wrong with that?
Nothing's wrong with it. Hey, you know, to
ooh-wee.
Each his own.
What's wrong with that? What's wrong with that?
Hey, everyone has their own taste, right, Lawrence?
Without question.
This is key. By the way, I think that Keenan has maybe been on Saturday Night Live longer than anybody.
Keenan
Thompson.
The big brother. That's very funny.
Oh, seriously?
Yeah.
I think he's been on the show for 14 or 15 years.
So longer than anybody in the history.
I think longer than anyone in the history of the show.
People didn't watch for 12 of those.
Probably.
Yes, because
are you guys regular viewers no. of that show?
I just Saturday got back Live. On when Trump started being making fun of.
I love Kate McKinnon. I just think that she's so talented.
There it is. There it is.
What?
This dude. I'm saying I wouldn't know her name or I wouldn't know
Kate
the
McKinnon?
Names.
No.
Oh, I only know her name now because of the Hillary.
Well, I mean, she did the Hillary. I mean, her Kellyanne Conway stuff has been.
I haven't seen it.
Great.
Yeah.
You didn't see the one the Fatal Attraction one?
No.
Wow. They did a spoof of Kellyanne Conway wanting to be on CNN, and her and Jake Tapper.
Yeah, and she was Glenn Close.
It was. If you've seen the movie, it was
the rabbit.
It was if the rabbit was mentioned.
You know, it was funny. It was funny that that skit got they considered it controversial, got some backlash, saying that they went too far. It's SNL sketch comedy.
Right? Yeah,
like I don't, you know, I mean, they did have her fall out a window, but she didn't die though. At least
no, she's fine.
Yeah, I mean, her leg
was like the Terminator.
Yeah,
she was all good to go. But Kate McKinnon is really funny to me, and I for one like Colin Jost and Michael Che doing Weekend Update.
Yeah.
Because
those are funny.
Because they kind of don't care, and I'm down with that. Like,
I'm down with not caring.
Welcome to Friday on the Score.
That's right. Hey, do you see that they're going to do a spinoff show on that, maybe? On just the Weekend Update?
Really?
It was I saw that talk somewhere.
See, is that going to be too much,
interwebs.
Is that going to be too much? Is it going to take
isn't
it out?
That, isn't that balance? Really just the Daily Show? Right? Like, isn't...
Is that what it is?
But seriously, like, isn't that the model that the Daily Show kind of put out there? That has now been perfected by look, Trevor Noah is doing a great job. I think he's finally started to kind of but Samantha Bee, if Samantha Bee used to be one of the correspondents on the Daily Show,
check it out.
And so like they all like kind of splintered off. Like John Oliver's doing his thing on Sunday nights,
right,
which is incredible. I feel like Samantha Bee is the closest to what Stewart was doing. Like I think that she's kind of stayed on mission. But her show is very funny. Full Frontal on TBS. It's a good show.
Yeah, Lawrence, Saturday Night Live plans on turning its Weekend Update into a weekly series. The spinoff would likely air for 30 minutes in primetime late Thursdays. That was according to Politico.
Nice.
That's interesting to do it there. That's really inexpensive programming for NBC.
Thank God it's Thursday. That programming there, Lawrence. You know what I'm talking about, right?
What is it on Thursday?
Grey's Anatomy and Scandal. And
Then,
How to Get Away with Murder.
Yes,
is
with
that,
Viola.
Is that the one?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. And then, because what you need is a bottle of vino and a big bowl of popcorn.
Yeah, shout out to Shonda Rhimes. Set, getting all the money.
Owns Thursday.
She owns Thursday nights.
All the money. All the way.
You guys remember when it used,
lady,
used to
right?
be? Used to be Thank God It's Friday.
Yeah, that was back when Family Matters.
And then they've changed it to Thank God It's Thursday because mm-hmm. it's good programming that night.
mm-hmm.
You see how they
with a hashtag?
Yeah, hashtag TGIT, y'all. that's what I do. It's not trending though.
Y apostrophe A L L.
Mine's not trending.
You all, y'all.
TGIT, y'all. Hashtag y'all. Hashtag blessed.
Highly favored.
Hashtag somewhat liked.
Hashtag blessings on blessings. Stop it.
Hashtag not needed.
All right, all right.
Hashtag not wanted.
Oh, Jesus.
Hashtag not good enough.
Now it's devolving into something else. All right. I'm going to go get a beer.
Beer me, will you?
Sure.
Hey, bartender. Crack one of those cold beers up for me. I like in movies, guys walk up to a bar.
We're hey, bartender. Get you.
I'll take a beer. Okay, I only have 75, pal. Why don't you pick one?
Just give me the one that says beer on it with the generic wrapping.
What can I get you? Whiskey. Oh, okay. Cool. You see the wall behind me? It's all full of whiskey, buddy. Just pick one. Go ahead. Come on.
Whiskey.
Right.
Neat.
Right. Whiskey neat in a glass. Okay, mm-hmm. Thanks for that, pal.
Barkeeper, give me a yeast fermented malt flavored beverage with hops, please. Right.
You got straight, that Sioux City sarsaparilla?
Straight from the barrel, please. In my mouth. Anyway, where was I, fellas? Was I done?
Nah.
Yeah.
Oh, I wanted to read this one. This is a good one here, because this is one of the better guys in this business you'll ever meet. Racing fans, make your plans to join the Scores' Brian Hanley and Tito's Handmade Vodka, which is delicious, next Friday for the Sports and Racing Roundup at Hawthorne Racecourse. There will be live racing on-site. Specially priced Tito's cocktails, as well as Score and Tito's giveaways. It's the Sports and Racing Roundup, presented by Tito's Handmade Vodka, America's original craft vodka, which is delicious, by the way.
Oh, without question.
Yeah, that's
have a Tito's fountain at my wedding.
That's my go-to at home is Tito's. Unless the funds are a little short, you look for what's on sale in a glass bottle.
Tito's is usually on sale too at a local Binny's near you.
Yeah, you can get it like, you know, 16, mm-hmm. 17 bucks maybe. Mm-hmm. I got a handle
for like 23 or something like that.
I got
that.
One a couple days or a couple weeks ago, Jay. I have to remember the name of it, but it was $10 on sale.
Really?
Yeah, and it came.
But it wasn't Tito's.
It wasn't Tito's, but it was in a glass. You know, you got to get glass. You can't buy things.
Yeah,
in
you come in a plastic jug.
That's not good.
Leaving a plastic bag.
Yeah. No, because you probably shouldn't be able to pick up, you know, your vodka in a plastic jug.
Throw it.
You know, and right the next aisle over is like, you know, cough medicine and stuff. You know what I mean? Like one of those specialty
stores. Yeah. Well, now that's a different type of drink.
Yeah, now you're drinking lean.
You get the purple stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what it is?
It is awful cool these days in not just hip-hop society, but like it's okay to be like damn near a heroin addict and rap about it. Like these dudes are drinking codeine and promethazine and activists and all these things.
You know how that all starts, Jay.
What's that?
Because they're on the weed.
On the weed.
Oh yeah, the gateway drug. Yeah, because right. All the dudes that I know that smoke weed just end up bumping it up to heroin.
Oh my god, yeah.
I mean, there's not a heroin highway between, you know, the West Side and the Western suburbs or anything like that.
Well, the state of Indiana didn't have the worst, not just AIDS outbreak, but heroin outbreak.
Right.
That known to man over the last couple of decades.
Yeah, but Lawrence, that
shout
highway,
out to Mike.
That highway is littered with weed, though. That's the
is
thing.
That is what the really? Problem is?
Yeah, that's how you get down that highway is being like on the weed.
I feel like you should have a stick with fire and just walk through that highway littered with weed, and everybody can have a good time.
I just
as
follow
they walk
behind
through.
You.
Yeah, my
you
God.
Know, secondarily, that's
kidding
fine
me?
Too. That works.
Oh. You're getting played off by the Academy right now.
They're giving you the Matt Damon treatment.
You know, the first time I ever smoked weed, I was watching a Cat Williams stand-up special.
Now it kind of feels like, you know...
What?
Maybe a little questionable.
What was questionable?
A little incriminating now. We're getting to a point.
What are you talking about?
Why got to be Cat Williams?
Why couldn't
it be Louis C.K.?
Well, no, because he said it because he was next to me. That's the only reason he said it.
Oh, yeah. Right. I couldn't stand
up. Yeah, Cat Williams' first first special that I,
Maddie,
I
how you
just
feeling?
Commandeered the television out there in Four Lakes, and I was like,
Maddie,
you got
to
watch
feeling?
This.
Well, I can't feel my legs.
Yeah.
Did Cat Williams come over and try to fight y'all?
No.
He kicked my ass, I think.
shortly after. You know, that was after I desecrated R2-D2.
Yeah.
Wait,
yeah.
What?
Brian, well, yeah, he was like, what's this on R2-D2?
Yeah.
Who brought party balloons?
Hey, man, sometimes you just got to shoot your shot. Wherever it lands, it lands.
Hey, you know what? The only shot you don't make are the ones you don't take.
What? Come on, Tannehill. You are such a...
Wait, was that dumped?
Meow.
Was that
what? What are you? Oh, come on, Danny.
You saw I hovered around the button and then I kind of conferred with Shep. And he's like, yeah, probably.
Right. Nothing was said there.
We got to stop the fun because the police are on the board.
Oh.
Brett Lyons?
No. I said police. I didn't say the Grand Wizard.
Right.
Hey. And not like Theodore.
Please. No, not at all. I meant the Klan.
You guys relax or you stop. That's a good guy right there.
Oh, who, Brett?
Help
or me?
Out.
Damn.
Help you out.
What do we? All right, let's finish the update. Because
turn his back on you the first chance he gets.
Tannehill? Or Brett? It's a big back if it's Brett.
Wait, did you give him meow earlier?
Yeah, because I wanted to call him the P word. But
George's cat's got in the studio. Meow, meow.
Or George Katz?
Yes.
I'm sorry. This is over.
All right. I'm Matt Abaticola, and that's all she wrote. 670thescore.com.
This scoreboard update was brought to you by Midas Auto Service and Tires. Stretch your tax refund at Midas. Save 25% now on brake pads and rotors or shocks and struts at participating Chicagoland Midas through April 2nd. See store for details. Not valid with other offers. Shop and disposal fee extra. Additional parts or services extra if needed.
Meow, meow.
Welcome back to the censored Holmes and Goff show. Got the police over there, a.k.a. Mr. FCC himself, Tannehill. And Shep, I'm disappointed in you. You used to be just a cowboy. All of a sudden, we switch times, and you get a little, you know...
Don't want to lose that big job.
I don't know, Hendry. You might fold under question. I'm messing.
Non-paid vacation.
You don't want to lose that big job.
I got you.
From the guys who are on contracts, they get fired, they still get paid. Meanwhile.
Right, you got to pay me two more years. Tanny and I are looking at each other. Charles Barkley's making fun of our future professions.
The cashier is known as Chris Tannehill and Nick Shepkowski.
You can't say to your child that...
Yeah, why can't you? Play that one more time for us. Charles Barkley had a shot taken at him by a Twitter follower on NBA on TNT. And, you know, his name was, I believe, Jamal the Cashier or something the Cashier. That was his Twitter name.
And he probably isn't a cashier.
Right. He's cashing in. There's a play on words and... And old Uncle Ruckus of basketball took offense to it.
And call him another Uncle.
Every time the ref look at a replay, then it takes Charles to get in a pair of skinny jeans. It was wrong, too.
Well, first of all, Jamal, you're a cashier, so shut the hell up.
Nothing wrong with being a cashier.
What's wrong with a cashier?
He might be a cashier at one of the biggest...
First of all, a dude can't be a cashier.
No, that might be like a...
You can't go home and tell your kids, hey, Dad, how was everything at the cashier today?
Stop that. It's an analogy.
Come on, man.
So let's go over the IST list that Charles is on. Classist, right?
Yes.
That's less. I'm always making less.
He apparently is a sexist too, because only women can be cashiers.
Well, come on, man. You know what he told the police officer that pulled him over with the wine coolers and the donuts in his front seat. Yeah. And
That's all I got.
Well, he might be a racist too, because I think he hates black people.
He does. I really wish would happen, Jay?
What's that?
This could be a topic for the podcast, but I really wish people would stop asking Charles his opinion
on
anything.
What he thinks on things, well, because the people that ask him stuff, they are directly aligned with his way.
Correct. They're asking him so that they can get that affirmative from someone.
We've got one.
Yep.
Ladies and gentlemen.
And let me just say that the TNT crew seems to be a little sensitive.
Well, without question.
They seem to be a little sensitive.
Without question. Kenny's the only one that, you know, stays away from the foolishness.
Yeah.
But Shaq has always been that way. Shaq has always been the guy trying to defend a legacy that he didn't have to defend.
Yeah.
Because you're
one of the greats.
Yeah. Probably the second or third most dominant athlete the sport has ever seen.
Yeah.
Like,
why are you beefing with JaVale McGee?
Because he doesn't know when to let it go.
And the Charles Barkley stuff, I'm all for people, clearly by this show, I'm all for people speaking their minds on political things.
Yeah.
It just seems that Charles loves to be ignorant.
Yeah, I was about to say, be informed if you're going to talk.
It's not that he just is. He enjoys being ignorant.
Rolls around in it.
And there are a couple people that he rolls with that are like that, that just enjoy living in the ignorance. Wilbon's one of those dudes. Loves it.
Really?
Yeah. Loves to be ignorant.
I see. I haven't heard him talk about political things.
No, not necessarily political stuff. But his thoughts on the N-word, loves to be ignorant. And his thoughts on sports when it comes to... It's like Wilbon thinks that he used to play because he acts like one of those dudes. Like, get these stupid numbers out of my face. Like, he's one of those guys. And it's like, what?
The old guard.
Yeah. like all
hey,
of us.
At least he did. Well,
I'm just saying that it doesn't make sense.
See, I'm Tannehilling myself right now. That's what I'll do from here on out.
Tannehill neutered your thoughts.
Yeah. Doing your job, protecting your teammates.
Yeah, no.
I'll be happy
here
with that.
Here it is. Here it is. Just take it. Huh? You haven't caught shots for 7-8 years.
Rightfully so.
See? Wow. Listen to this guy. My God. No mirrors in this man's house, huh? Talk about no thumbs.
Well, that's pretty obvious.
Hyperextend that elbow, patting yourself on the back over there, mister. Huh? You know? This guy over here. Like, is it going to be that today? Did it start with how, you know,
Dude, it's a savage Friday.
I came I came at Shep Reckless yesterday, and I was just messing around with him. And I think that, like, everybody went to sleep with that on their heads and then came out firing today. You know, the only one that's safe is Maddie because he's in another room. And Lawrence, because Lawrence doesn't bother anybody. So pretty much me. I think this is all just going to come back on me. I've never been the why me guy either, so I understand why it happens.
That's why funny. Is Maddie in it? You remember how it used to be where
we could actually see the
update guy?
Yeah. Hey, Matt, you okay? You good in there, buddy?
We don't even know.
I can't turn his mic on, Tanny.
That might not help.
Oh, yo, don't.
Yeah, don't do that.
Don't turn his mic.
Because we can't see what he's doing.
All right.
He might be listening to country music or something.
Or the other station.
Probably by the way, congrats to Illinois State.
They suck rocks.
Okay. Agree there. congrats to Illinois State on their win. They advanced to the semifinal of the Valley Tournament. I'm going down tomorrow to check them out. It looks like I have to check the bracket, but I think they will play the winner of the Southern Loyola game, which is going on right now. I'm going to see my man Chris Ronji there.
Tell him I said hello.
I'm looking forward to seeing Ranger.
Punch him in the face for me.
I plan on it.
He's Lawrence Holmes. He's in for Dan Bernstein. I'm Jason Goff. You're listening to 670 The Score.
Chicago's number one sports morning show is Mully and Hanley, live at 5 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station.
Recently on the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
The U.S. economy added 227,000 jobs in January. Is that a surprise to you?
It was. We had raised our estimate based on some earlier news that we got this week that suggested that our employment market was doing well, but it exceeded even those expectations. A great way to start the year. This is a very large number, Chris. As we've discussed before, when we get 100,000 jobs created in a month, that's about the break-even given the nation's demographics. So this obviously is more than twice that.
Let's take a look at quality of the increase.
Leaders were construction and retail. Construction we'll have to take with a little grain of salt. It had been a mild January for most of the country, and that allowed projects to go forward. We'll probably see a little retreat there. But across a lot of other industries, the job gains were widespread.
For the best information on business and the markets, tune in each weekday for the WBBM Noon Business Hour on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, WBBM.
This week in 1995, Dusty Springfield died after a long battle with cancer at age 59. MC Hammer became a preacher this week in 2000. This week in 2002, the first episode of The Osbournes TV show aired on MTV. And this week in 2012, Davy Jones, singer with the Monkees, died at age 66 after suffering a massive heart attack. This week in 1968, Elton John's first single, I've Been Loving You Too Long, was released and didn't chart. Frank
Frankie Lyman was found dead of a suspected drug overdose at age 25 that same week. The CD was launched by Sony, Philips, and PolyGram this week in 1983. This week in 1993, Whitney Houston and Bobby Brown became parents when Bobby Christina was born. Justin Bieber was born this week in 1994. That same week, Nirvana played their final ever concert. This week in 1995, the Foo Fighters made their live debut. It's like this and like that and like this. Death Row Records boss Suge Knight was sentenced to 9 years in prison for violating his probation this week in 1997. Play.it is your new podcast network for award-winning news programming and number one sports brands to entertainment and business leaders.
Welcome! We're gonna make you laugh, we're gonna make you think.
Give you that news and information.
Pop culture, reality TV.
What's happening in business today.
Relationships, dating.
The biggest names in sports.
Play.it is delivering storytelling at its best.
You wanna see something entertaining? Tune in.
Hear what you've been missing at Play.it. This week in 1955, Elvis Presley made his TV debut. This week in 1959, the winners of the first Grammy Awards were announced. The Four Seasons became the first group to have three consecutive number ones in the U.S. this week in 1963. This week in 1966, John Lennon's statement that the Beatles were more popular than Jesus Christ was published in London.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
Top of the hour, Ken Rosenthal will join us, talk a little baseball, we'll talk Cubs, we'll talk Sox, we'll talk what's going on with David Price and if Jose Quintana should be going to the Boston Red Sox or not. Can you fleece the same team twice? Not exactly fleecing them, but they paid a pretty penny for Chris Sale.
Well, if you know what the deal is, that David Price is at the combine.
Mm-hmm.
Like just hanging out.
Getting his elbow checked out.
Waiting for Dr. James Andrews. Like, that to me, like, the picture of that, if you're a Red Sox fan, like, that's not good.
It's tough. And does this drive up the price for the Houston Astros now that another team needs a starter? Or do you wait a little while, about 4 or 5 weeks into the season, and then say, hey, who needs him?
My whole thing with this is I don't want Quintana throwing any innings for the White Sox because there's always the risk. Not that he has a history of being injured, but there's always the risk. I kind of not want him on the roster before the season starts, but I get it. If Rick thinks that he can make a better deal later on, I'm for it. Just be careful.
All right. Ken Rosenthal next right here on the Bernstein and Golf Show. Lawrence Holmes is in for Dan Bernstein on this Friday on 670 The Score.
The Score is celebrating 25 years as the voice of the fan. It couldn't have continued for 25 years without you, the Score listener. Thank you, Chicago. From Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago's sports station.
Play.it is your new podcast network for top sports on-demand programming, including CBS sports experts and digital exclusives from dynamic personalities.
Hey, join me, Taz.
Jim Rome.
Holy Magic Man Malignaggi, two-time world champion.
The industrial strength nation.
Let's get to some news here.
The updates, the scores, lots happening.
Let's hand out some fantasy football advice.
The most addictive sports podcast today.
Play.it is delivering storytelling at its best.
This is the big league.
Hear what you've been missing at Play.it.
Recently on the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
The U.S. economy added 227,000 jobs in January. Is that a surprise to you?
It was. We had raised our estimate based on some earlier news that we got this week that suggested that our employment market was doing well, but it exceeded even those expectations. A great way to start the year. This is a very large number, Chris. As we've discussed before, when we get 100,000 jobs created in a month, that's about the break even given the nation's demographics. So this obviously is more than twice that.
Let's take a look at quality of the increase.
Leaders were construction and retail. Construction we'll have to take with a little grain of salt. It had been a mild January for most of the country, and that allowed projects to go forward. We'll probably see a little retreat there. But across a lot of other industries, the job gains were widespread.
For the best information on business and the markets, tune in each weekday for the WBBM Noon Business Hour on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, WBBM.
Thanks for listening. This station is in a commercial break, and we'll be back shortly. Stand by. We're in a commercial break, and we'll return to your favorite station very soon. Thanks for listening. Thanks for listening. This station is in a commercial break, and we'll be back shortly. Stand by. We're in a commercial break, and we'll return to your favorite station very soon. Thanks for listening. Thanks for listening. This station is in a commercial break, and we'll be back shortly. Stand by. We're in a commercial break, and we'll return to your favorite station very soon. Thanks for listening.